Exaggerator in front. Now, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. Nagani Nyquist is coming at him in second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
And that was the exciting end of the Preakness Stakes on Saturday, an annual tradition here in the Washington-Baltimore metro area, and what an exciting race it was. However, the day at Pimlico started off pretty sad, actually, as two horses within the first four races died. One of them, the winner of the first race, Homeboy Chris, coincidentally co-owned by Yankees manager Joe Torre, former Yankees manager Joe Torre. He died of a heart attack, it appears, right after winning that race. And then Promedia, a filly who broke a leg rounding one of the turns, had to be put down there on the track. And a lot of people are looking at horse racing in general now, saying, oh, what's going on there? Well, let's bring on our guest, Mike Hopkins with the Maryland Racing Commission. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, in general, how common is it that a thoroughbred racing horse dies at the track, either in some way connected to a race that they're running in?
These two were distinctly different. What happened on Saturday, the injury, the horse of the first race that died of an apparent heart attack is very rare, more rare than a horse having a breakdown on the racetrack itself.
Okay.
So with that being said, yeah, here's a national trend, about 1 in 1,000 horses suffer an injury during the running of a race.
And according to the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, who admittedly have quite an agenda that goes well beyond just horse racing, they don't want animals used for food or clothing or any entertainment purposes. But they say that there is rampant drug use in the horse racing industry. Many drugs given to horses to cover up what would be an injury so that they can make it to the gate. Tell me about that.
Well, I think that's all speculative. As far as the drugs are concerned, we operate a nationally accredited laboratory. The horses are subjected to both analysis of both urine and blood specimens after each race, before the race. And it's a fairly rigorous, intense review and analysis of any particular drug that may be in the horse's system. And you always hear individuals talk about all the cheating that's going on, but no one's coming forth and telling us what those types of drugs are and what they are.
Let me just say that it is a bit of an anomaly, however, that to have two horses die on a racetrack so close together. And you are right. The statistics show that this happens about once every 1,000 races. So it is usually rare. So when you have two like this, I guess it raises people's attention level. And I guess I'm wondering what happens now for your investigation. Is there an autopsy of the horse? Do you run tests on all the samples of the body parts, et cetera?
Well, what will happen is the horse that had the apparent heart attack in first race, that horse is on its way to have a post-mortem exam done to it to get some answers there. We took some samples from that horse that will be analyzed, and the same except for the post-mortem exam on the horse in the fourth race, blood samples were taken from that horse and sent for analysis as well.
Who does the post-mortem analysis, and who gets those results?
The Maryland Department of Agriculture does that at their Frederick Laboratory, and those results will come back to us in the racetrack probably in about a week or 10 days.
Okay.
It seems to me, listen, PETA makes, they prey on people's emotions, and these are such beautiful animals, and they bring us such great enjoyment, and everybody gets sad when they see something like this happens. But it seems to me the greatest rebuttal to them, Mike Hopkins, is that these horses cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why on earth would the owners abuse them in such a way so that they have a short lifespan? It behooves these owners to keep them healthy because they're going to make a lot of money for them either on the track or later when they go to stud. What am I missing here?
No, you're not missing anything there. You can add to that is the personal attachment that these people take to these animals. Hey, look, I grew up in this business as a kid myself, so I can relate to that very, very well. And all these horses, the care they're giving, and the attention they're given is at almost like one of your kids. And they look at every turned hair, every pimple these horses have, and manage it. You know, that's what we do as far as our oversight here is the fact that we have a staff of veterinarians that go and look at these horses in the mornings. They watch them jog. They feel their legs, the overall conditions of these horses. They look at them again in the paddock. They look at them on the racetrack, in the starting gate, after the race, and make notes of anything they see. And all that information, if there's anything to be put into it, gets entered into a national database for other veterinarians, other racetracks where these horses show up to race, so they have an idea of what you're looking at.
So just let me ask you this question, and I don't mean to suggest that I think there's anything untoward here, but, I mean, for those who have questions, what assurance can you give us that there'll be transparency in this whole process, that we'll actually get all of the results and they'll be made public?
We are extremely transparent in what we do here. And when all our results come back, they're there to see, as far as the documents are concerned. And anyone that has questions can certainly feel free to contact us when those results come back, and we'll be happy to go over them with them.
All right, excellent. Hey, you know, one last question just from a bystander. That weather vane that has the winner of the horse, you know, they repaint the colors every time, right after. How many layers of paint are on that damn thing? Do they take it off and strip it down?
Huh? That one I can't answer for you.
All right.
141.
I guess that's true. But it can't be. Otherwise, the thing would look gargantuan.
They sandblast it and start
they
over.
Must start they over. Must start yeah. over. Mike Hopkins, Executive Director of the Maryland Race Commission. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.